So that's Malachi chapter 3, starting at verse 13. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day is coming, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. And the next reading is from Matthew 17, verses 1 to 13, which is on page 984. Page 984, Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said, don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The disciples asked him, Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Emily, that's great. Thank you very much for reading that for us. Would you flick back to the first reading that we had, the book of Malachi, chapter 3, page 962. That's the passage we're going to be thinking about. And let's pray together for God's help as we do that. Lord God, we praise you that you are a speaking God. And we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit now to listen to what you're saying to us this morning And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we start today, I want us to think about when serving God seems useless. And I wonder if you've ever felt that or thought that, when serving God seems useless. It might be that you're here today and you're not yet persuaded about Christian things. And you might think that the idea of serving God does seem pretty useless. It might be that you're not really convinced that God is real and that we can know him. And if that's you, I'm really glad that you're here today. Easter is a brilliant time to find out more about these things. If Jesus really did rise from the dead, it means that there is a God and we can know him and serve him. And I do hope you want to find out more. And Christians can also feel tempted at times to think it's useless serving God. Maybe you've had the experience of trying to pray, but it feels like no one's listening. Or perhaps you've helped out at church sometime and felt that really it hasn't made any difference at all. Or have you ever looked at the world around you and thought there are so many people out there who ignore God and they seem all right? And we're tempted to think, well, why am I bothered about serving God? It seems useless. Well, in our Bible passage today, many of God's people felt exactly like that. And let's look to see what God says to them and to us. We've been going through this book of Malachi over these past few weeks, and today's passage is the last part of that book. And Malachi is a prophet, a spokesman of God, who comes right at the end of the Old Testament part of the Bible. In fact, if you have a Bible in front of you, what happens if you turn the page? If you turn the page, you start Matthew's Gospel and you meet Jesus. Now, Malachi is the deliberate ending of the Old Testament. And it ends with God promising that he will send a special messenger, and then he, God himself, will come to his people. There's then silence for about 400 years, and then it's as if we turn the page, and John the Baptist arrives, a special messenger, followed by Jesus. God is the real and living God, but at this point in Malachi's day, God's people are thinking that serving him seems useless. Let's look at what they were saying to each other. Let's have a look at verses 13 to 15 of chapter 3. When serving God seems useless, let me read verse 13. "You've said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? The people are surprised. Verse 14, you've said it's futile, useless to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape." So God knows what his people are saying. This is probably not what they were saying publicly. Publicly, they were probably still going to the temple and saying all the right things. This is probably what they were saying privately, behind closed doors, in the kitchen at the end of the day, or in the bedroom before they were going to go to bed. And it's widespread. They're saying people ignore God and get away with this. Serving God seems useless. So you can imagine an old Israelite couple. They're in the kitchen at the end of the day, and they're worried about money. They're struggling to make ends meet. And the husband says to his wife, "You know, old Jeff, he lives down the road. Well, when he takes animals to the temple to be sacrificed, just like we're all meant to do, when he takes animals, he always takes animals that can't really walk properly. He'd never sell them to anyone else, and he takes them to be sacrificed at the temple. He's done it for years. I've heard him laugh about it. And you know, nothing's ever happened to him. God hasn't done anything to him." Do you know, if we did that, our money troubles would be over. God knows what his people are saying. It's widespread. Serving God seems useless. And it's easy to update it to our day, today. Imagine you bump into a friend. They're a friend because they used to come to St. Mary's Church. They gave up coming quite a while ago now. And you bump into them, and they seem fine. In fact, they seem better than fine. They seem to be doing really well. They seem really healthy, very happy. They're well off. They're talking excitedly about brilliant plans that they have for next weekend. And after you say goodbye and you're walking home, you grumble to yourself. You think, well, I couldn't do that next weekend. I'm down to help at church next weekend. And anyway, we couldn't afford it. Well, maybe we could afford it if we stopped giving to church. And you just start to feel a bit grumpy inside. Why am I bothering to serve God? Or think about people who actually have never been to church. And you realize that some of the happiest people that you know have never thought about God at all. And you think about your friend Jeanette. She works in town, she has a brilliant job, she has a lovely family, and she blasphemes all the time. Whenever she's talking, it's always God this and Christ that. Nothing ever happens to her. God never does anything. And you think, well, why not? Why doesn't God do anything? Why am I bothering to be really careful about how I live and what I say, about how I serve God? And serving God just begins to seem useless to you. Well, we're on very thin ice if we start to think that way. It's foolish and it's wrong to think that way. It's actually never useless to serve God. And we're about to see two reasons why. Here's the first reason why it's never useless to serve God. Here it is up on screen. The Lord treasures his servants. And we're looking at verses 16 to 18. Let me read from verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. So many of God's people were saying, it's useless to serve the Lord. But not all of them. There was a small group of them who loved the Lord and who feared him and who said differently. And they said to each other, we can't go along with this. He's the living God. It's always right to serve him. And just as God was hearing the doubters, God was also hearing the believers. And a scroll is written in his presence, a list of names. The names matter to God. God knows his faithful people by name. Isn't that an encouragement? It's a similar idea to the book of life that we meet in the New Testament. It's a list of names of everyone who will have eternal life. Everyone who will trust in Jesus and be forgiven. God knows his faithful people by name. And verse 17, they will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I'll spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction, the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. There's a day coming, says God, the day of the Lord, judgment day, and you will see the difference then between those who serve God and those who don't. God's faithful servants will make up his treasured possession. The Lord treasures his servants. I wonder what you treasure. Do you have a treasured possession? Maybe a special collection of music? Maybe some gift that a loved one gave you a while ago? Maybe a necklace or a special watch or something like that? Imagine if you were alone in the house and there was a fire in your house. What would be the one thing that you would grab as you ran out of the house? I heard about a married couple And they were rugby fans, and they'd met the famous rugby player Johnny Wilkinson. Maybe you know him, he's very successful, he's quite good looking. And they had a signed photo of Johnny Wilkinson, and I heard the husband joke that if there was a fire in their house and his wife ran out of the house, she'd grab the signed photo of Johnny Wilkinson rather than of him. That was her treasured possession. Well, do you want to know what God's treasured possession is? It's his faithful servants. The Lord treasures his servants. I wonder if you believe that. He is the living God, the seeing, hearing God, and he treasures his servants. Maybe you're here today and you haven't yet turned to Jesus for the forgiveness that he offers and the new friendship with God that he offers. If you were to do that, God would treasure you. The most important person in the whole universe would treasure you. It's a wonderful thought. I hope you want to find out more. And if you have turned to Jesus, of course it is worth serving him. It's worth getting up early to come and rehearse with the music group before the service starts. It's worth giving up that Wednesday evening to come to the church prayer meeting, even though you don't feel very confident about praying out loud. It's never useless to serve him. The Lord treasures his servants. Well, here's the second reason why it's never useless to serve him. The day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. And we're looking at chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. God now speaks of the great day to come in the future, the day of judgments, the last day. Verse 1, he says, "Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them." The day of the Lord will be a cleansing fire. Evildoers will be like stubble. That's the dry bits that were left over after grain would be harvested in a field, and it would burn very easily. And after the fire, evildoers will be completely gone. It's just like Jesus' teaching, that hell would be a place of endless fiery punishments. And it sounds terrible, doesn't it? But do you know that judgment is truly a good thing? Surely we want to live in a world where God cares. Think about the terrible things that we've been seeing on the news recently to do with Ukraine. Think about the terrible bombardment of that city, Mariupol. I was reading in the newspaper that there'd been a theater in Mariupol where 300 women and children had been sheltering in the basements. And they'd written on the outside, on the ground, they'd written "children" in big letters on the ground outside. They'd written it in Russian so the Russians would know what was going on, that women and children were sheltering there, but the Russians shelled it. All of them were killed. And you hear about things like that, and you want justice, don't you? Well, there is a day of justice coming, a day of judgment and fire. But of course, it's not just Putin who will be judged. It'll be every human being who hasn't served and feared the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming. And that's a warning for us, but it also reassures us if we are those who serve the Lord. Verse 2, "But for you who revere my name, who honor my name, the Sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall." This is a very beautiful picture. When the Lord comes, it'll be like the sunrise, and a new world of righteousness will begin. It'll be a world with no sin, a world with no suffering, and the sun's rays will bring healing. And God's servants will run and jump, will be like well-fed young bulls, full of energy, running out into the field. Or maybe an image you might be more familiar with, imagine a young dog that's been cooped up in the house all day, and you let them out for a run on the field and they're off, full of energy. That's what we'll be like, delighted, full of energy and joy, praising God. And there'll be no need to fear sin or sinners again, because they'll all be gone. Verse 3, then you will trample down the ashes of the wicked under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. It is worth serving the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming. Let me read the last verses, verses 4 to 6. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws that I gave him at Horeb, Mount Sinai, for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Elijah was a famous prophet who lived 200 or 300 years before Malachi. And Elijah had called God's people to turn back to God. And the Lord promises here that another Elijah will come in the future. And then he, the Lord, will come. And all of that came true when John the Baptist came and then Jesus came. Look up at the screen. Jesus said in our first reading, but I tell you, Elijah has already come. And then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was like another Elijah. He was a prophet who also called God's people to turn back to him and to be ready for the day of the Lord. That was Jesus' first coming, the day of the Lord for Israel. And you and I now wait for Jesus' second coming, which is the day of the Lord for the whole world. The day of the Lord is coming. Jesus will return in great power and glory. He'll bring fire and judgment for those who have not served God. But for those who have, he will bring a joyful new creation, and it'll be wonderful. And so this message came as a loving warning to the people of Malachi's day, and it comes as a loving warning to us as well. It is worth serving the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming. There was a sad story from California in America. At the end of the year 2017, there'd been a big wildfire. And up in some mountains in California called the Santa Ynez Mountains, all of the plants and all of the trees had been burned up. And that meant that the soil on the mountains was very loose. And then just a few weeks later, at the beginning of 2018, there was a weather forecast saying that it was going to rain very heavily. And it would turn into a dangerous mudslide. And the authorities saw that this heavy rain was going to wash all of that soil off the mountains, and it was going to be a very dangerous mudslide. And so they started to warn the people who lived at the bottom of the Santa Ynez Mountains. And the leaders found it very hard to warn people because it was something that they couldn't see yet. And one local leader called Matt Pontes said this. He said, you know, it was blue skies, and we were going to people telling them about something that's never happened before, or at least not in memory, and it was, hey, you know, something's coming, and we've got to get you out of here. And they said no. Well, on the 8th of January, the rain came down, and it rained an inch and a half in 1 hour, and it was like the mountain melted. All of the soil came away. It turned into a huge mudslide, just like they thought it would. The mud carried huge rocks the size of cars down the mountains. Actual cars were picked up and dragged downhill for miles. They ended up in the ocean. Those who had listened escaped. But over the week afterwards, the bodies of 23 people who had not listened were dug out of the mud, and two people were never found. The day of the Lord is coming. I wonder if we'll listen to that warning. How can we be ready for the day of the Lord? God says here, remember the law of Moses in chapter 4, verse 4. But of course, God's people couldn't keep the law of Moses, and neither can we. But praise God that Jesus did. He kept it perfectly. And when he died on the cross, he paid for our failure to keep the law. He faced the fire of God's judgment so that we could be spared. Praise God for that. And we're going to remember that later as we take communion. And we can know that as we trust in Jesus' death on the cross, we're made ready for that coming day of the Lord. We don't need to be afraid of it. We're forgiven. In fact, when Jesus comes back, we'll go out leaping like calves, full of energy and joy. It might be that you're here today and you don't quite know what I'm on about when I talk about the cross and why it's important. Why not speak to someone over tea and coffee about that? Why not come back on Easter Sunday and find out more? It matters. And if you're here today and you are trusting in Jesus, remember, it is never useless to serve the Lord. It's never useless. We'll be tempted to think that at times. Might feel like you're surrounded by people at work or on your street. You just ignore God and it's going fine for them. So what's the point of serving God? Or maybe you'll be tempted to grumble later as you have to come out of your house to come and help at the family fun afternoon later on. Or maybe to serve at Easter at some point over the next couple of weeks. You'll be serving in a way hardly anyone sees, and you'll think, well, what's the point? Well, the Lord treasures his faithful servants. He treasures us. And the day of the Lord is coming, the day when he will make up his treasured possession. So let's pray together now that that would encourage us. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Lord God, we praise you that you are the living and true God. Please persuade us deeply that it's never useless to serve you. You treasure your faithful servants. Would that please encourage us? And one day, the Lord Jesus will return in power and glory. Help us to remember that and to look ahead to that day when we will go out leaping like calves from the stall. And we pray it in his name. Amen.